His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, first journeyed from India to America in 1965 with practically nothing from a material point of view, with an aim to fulfill the order of his spiritual master to preach in the Western countries. Actually, to preach in English language, but he took that as an order to preach in the English-speaking countries. And also, Srila Prabhupada, over and above that, he wanted to take that order and expand it. So he had an idea that we want to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's Bhavishyat Bani, his prediction, Priti Bite Ache Jota Nagara Adigram Shabatta Prachar Hoibe Moranam. In every town and village of the world, my name will be preached. So in pursuance of that, Srila Prabhupada, seeing the demoniac state of the world, wanted to not only introduce the chanting of the holy names, but also to revise the whole structure of society. Hugely, either of these ambitions would seem to be just the dream of an indigent Swami. Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and he gave guidelines for farm communities and making Krishna conscious civilization. But he did say that 50% of my work is still pending in the form of establishing Varnashram Dharma, which includes, it's not just village life with Krishna consciousness, but it also includes changing the government, the whole governmental approach and system, because Varnashram includes Kshatriyas. Anyway, that's just a little introduction to show that even before Srila Prabhupada went to the West, and if we see his writings before he went to the West, it's very clear that Srila Prabhupada always had in mind the idea of a worldwide Krishna consciousness civilization based on the land, the cows, and Krishna, living in a traditional way. On arriving in the West also, he kept that idea up, although in the beginning he didn't emphasize it much. But from a 1968 letter, we can see he was already starting to hatch these plans, just as his movement in the West was beginning to catch on among a most unlikely section of the population, the hippies, who themselves were a most unlikely bunch. This is from a 1968 letter in which Srila Prabhupada outlines 23 points. It's a long letter to the then editor of Back to Godhead magazine to give him ideas for making an article for bringing in a world civilization based on Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is very serious about all these things. So I'm just going to read an extract from that from that long letter Srila Prabhupada wrote. And the English, I'll maybe adjust the English a bit, because Srila Prabhupada's English, especially when he first came to the West, it was unusual. A little hard to understand. If you want to read the original, you can find it in the Veda base. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "Nobody should take to very hard labor. The modern civilization has discovered severe types of dangerous industries, and laborers are attracted for high wages, but they should not accept such work. Then naturally there will be a less capitalistic idea." Srila Prabhupada's talking about social revolution to convince the working class people, not to go to factories and take part in dangerous industries. And then the capitalistic idea will come down because it's not possible to reify it if the laborers don't cooperate. Naturally, there'll be less capitalistic idea. Because the laborer cooperates, therefore demoniac persons take advantage and make unnecessarily an increase of artificial demands of the body. Better that one should be satisfied with agricultural produce and going to large cities to be engaged in industry. Nowadays, even in the village in India, I see that people come around selling vegetables in the country. They come in motorbikes with different boxes and packs of vegetables. People don't grow vegetables. They buy vegetables. They grow cash crops. In Salem area, South India, sago's great. People love it. It's minimal work and maximum output. And growing in different parts. We find rice is a very big crop in many parts of India. I'm talking about commercially grown rice. And then we have turmeric is a commercial crop, and so many. Jeera, keeping cows as a business. So, and people think, why should I bother to grow vegetables with all the work of it? It'll get to the West now where people think the food comes out of packets. You see people talking about vegetarianism, they say, oh, you should read what's on the packet. They just presume that food comes out of packets from shops. The idea that you grow the food in the place where you live, where do you get your food from? You just walk out the door and pull it out of the garden. That idea, or rice, you have a stock of rice or wheat, which you harvest yourself, or you get from the farmer in the same village, because not everyone's a farmer in a village. Depends what kind of village it is, but in many villages, in many people won't be farmers. And if it's a bigger village, then you're going to have all kinds of different people apart from farmers. So anyway, everyone has their own stock of grains at home. And food out of a packet, what's a packet? What are you talking? What is a packet anyway? So, continuing to read from Srila Prabhupada's letter, peaceful life depending on agricultural produce can bring him real happiness and prosperity, not otherwise. We're talking about even for material happiness and prosperity. Peaceful life with agricultural produce, not otherwise. Srila Prabhupada writes, the more persons will be satisfied at home with home economics, not to go outside the home, that is peaceful life. In India, Mahatma Gandhi tried to organize the villages in that way so as to not drag the people to the town. So a peaceful atmosphere can be attained only when there is large-scale village organization, actual village life. Not to borrow the ideas from the cities in the village life, which is exactly what's going on in India now. I gave a little idea. Cash crops and purchase your own vegetables and everything else. Poet Cowper, as actually poet Cowper, said that the country is made by God and the cities and towns are made by man. I'll talk a little about this, about happiness in village life. Increasingly, we're finding that among intelligent, insightful members or intellectual members of the general public, not talking about devotees or persons who are not even talking about people who are interested in spiritual life in particular. But increasingly, a number of people are saying, hey, look, society's gone mad. It's all mad. Great, you got it. Nunang pramata kurute vikarma. Actually, it's not just now. Even the society of one generation ago, which you might have thought was not mad, it's all mad. Everyone in this material existence is mad because we perform sinful activities which cause us to take more bodies. Nunang pramata kurute vikarma yadindriya pritiya aprinoti. Why? Because we're attached to the idea of sense enjoyment. Nasadhumanye yata atmano yam masannapi kleshada asadeha. This is not good because it causes us to get body after body to body after body to suffer life after life after life. But anyway, it goes in cycles that people say, hey, the world's insane, but the young people who are growing up in it think, well, it's just normal. And as each generation gets more and more insane, the older people say, hey, this is insane. And the younger people say, no, it's not, it's normal. And then when the younger people grow up, and it's more insane. And then the next generation says, hey, it's great. While the older people who are younger people previously, older people were young people at one point, believe it or not, that man hobbling with a stick used to be a football player. It goes on like that. Where will it all end? Well, it all ends up in a place called Yamaloka. If you don't know what that is, look it up on the internet. Or more realistically, we're turning this world into hell. But don't worry, we're going to Mars with Elon Musk and make that. We'll make a great society there, sure. Anyway, it's good that people are saying that. It's all crazy. It's all gone mad. Well, we want to say to people, you don't have to be caught in that. They used to call it a rat race. You don't have to be caught in it. There is an alternative. There are alternatives apart from putting studs in your mouth and ranting about how insane everything is, or taking some illegal intoxication so you get an adrenaline boost from doing something which is illegal, then you get a something or other boost before you go down, your high goes, you want to go high, so you go high, and then you come down a lot further than you were when you started off. So there's an alternative. You don't have to be caught in this insane life. Join our farm. We lead a sane life. Sane life means live simply. Don't be caught in this insane society. Live by the mercy of Mother Earth, recognizing the Supreme Father, Sri Krishna. Live for spiritual life. What's the use of living a sophisticatedly insane life? Srila Prabhupada, he was very concerned with the whole world, of course, but he did have special concern for India, because India, as he saw, as Shastra says, and as he saw, despite India's galloping away as fast as it can from India's own real Vedic culture, India is still a very special place for spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada built temples here, bringing money from the West, engaging his Western devotees, Western disciples in distributing many books and sending a lot of the money to India. He spent a lot of his time in India. And one of the things he was very concerned with that farmers not moved to the cities, which was a trend which was beginning and has continued, so that India, which at the time of independence was more than 90% people lived in on the land or in villages of small population. So nowadays, more and more, there's urbanization. We hear fantastic figures that so many people are moving, so many thousands of people are leaving the land and going to the cities. But another way that urbanization is going on is that there are small villages, and then they grow. But if, especially smaller villages which are in the vicinity of a bigger town, then they become like commuting suburbs of the bigger town. So they grow in size, and then all the villages in one area, they conglomerate together. Just like, for instance, I see in Gujarat, Anand and Vallabhvidyanagar, Karamsad, and then there's something, Vallabh Udyog Naga, and a few other places, which the names of, I don't remember. They're all merged together in one increasingly growing town. They were all little villages before. In Vallabhvidyanagar didn't exist. So in this way, the villages are disappearing. But Srila Prabhupada's, he had an idea for organizing the villages and enthusing the villagers in Krishna consciousness so they'll be happy. Krishna consciousness makes you happy if we actually apply ourselves to the process. And it's very suitable for village life because you can really see Krishna. Unless you're a complete Paramahamsa who automatically sees Krishna everywhere, then it's much easier to see Krishna in the cultivation of crops, seeing how the crops grow. It's a miracle every time. You might not think of it as a miracle, but just see banana trees or whatever growing and giving fruit, and then cows giving birth to calves, ewes giving birth to lambs. It's all a miracle. You see it all around you. You see the great storms and the thunder and the lightning. You're not cushioned away from it so much. You see, apart from human, you see human birth, human death. It's right there with you. Not that you have to. There's another thing going on. Another way city life has come to the Indian village. There's one of my disciples came back recently from his village in West Bengal, where his mother is 78 years old and she got cancer, and they're spending money which they can't afford on her treatment. Why? Why doesn't she just say, hey, look, you know, it's time for me to go and let me just chant Hare Krishna? The treatment is so painful, and at that age, how a success was going to be, and it's costly like anything. Just accept. It's 78 years old. You haven't got anything else to live for, materially to do. So just prepare. But everyone thinks when your parents get old, they get sick, and then you have to spend lakhs and lakhs of rupees taking loans in many cases. And why don't the old people just say, let me go. That's all. It's time to go. They themselves should say. They're also attached to the body. Otherwise, previously, you'd see the old men, they're lying on that charpoy is there in Uttar Pradesh, the bed made from ropes, and they just lie there and they're waiting to die. The more enlightened ones might chant Hare Krishna, but they might not even be able to sit up. But that's it. You see life and death. You see what's written in Bhagavad Gita. It's not all hidden away and sterilized. It's very suitable for spiritual life. What do people do in the villages? One great thing in the villages, and I'm saying this in my attempts to establish Krishna conscious village communities. No electricity, or very limited electricity for keeping in contact with the outside world. It is, after all, the modern world, so if there's one or two phones for the whole community, something like that. Otherwise, no electricity. Well, what do you do after dark? You all come together and chant Hare Krishna. That's what you do. That's what you do. There's nothing else to do. I mean, you could play dice or something. That's another thing which I've seen in the Indian villages. After dark, there's nothing to do. They play that common board, or not dice, or maybe cards. Once I came into Puri, in Jagannath Puri, I arrived in the evening, in the afternoon, and then we went. I thought I'd go for darshan at the Samadhi of Shalabh Beg, the famous Muslim devotee of Lord Jagannath. I thought I'd visit there. So I went there. It was evening time, and some local boys were playing cards there. There's no one there. It's just a small little place. So I said to them, what are you doing playing cards? Why don't you do kirtan? This is your culture. Do kirtan. And as I expected, they were pious enough to at least verbally accept what I say, and that said what is correct. I'll tell another story going, this is, I read in a book, long. This is going way back, that commuters from Haryana to Delhi, daily office workers, they're a group, the Brahmins would sit separate from the others because they're Brahmins, and they would play cards among themselves. And then one time someone complained, what are you doing, Brahmins playing cards? You should be studying Shastra. And they took it seriously, and they started to read among themselves Ramcharitmanas. Then others started to come and we want to listen to this too. And eventually they had the whole train linked up with a sound system. So the whole train was listening to Ramcharitmanas. And still in Bombay on the local trains, if you go to, say, Andheri station at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the train's coming in packed, and you'll hear kirtan going on with the chiming of the manjira, the small cartels. You can't see who's doing kirtan because the trains are so packed, but they do it when they're coming in. It's still going on. So that natural tendency in India for people to be religious. Here in Tamil Nadu, I see in the villages, there's so many temples, there's always some festival going on. Despite the relentless propaganda from the atheistic government and their cohorts for generations now, but still people go on with religion. They don't know why, but they're doing it. So that should be encouraged. With dramas, traveling drama troupes who do Krishna conscious plays. What happened some decades ago that the Naxalites, communists in Andhra Pradesh, they started doing dramas in the village showing how you're all exploited, and then they started a whole Naxalite movement. One of the major things was making dramas in the villages. So make it Krishna conscious, and you can have daily programs telling narrations from Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Puranas, Ramayana, and so on. So that people, they like it. They like to hear. They like to hear about these things. The whole social atmosphere was deliberately changed, beginning with Pandit Nehru, first Prime Minister of India, who was convinced that quite opposite to what was supposed to be practically his guru, his mentor, Mahatma Gandhi. He thought that this emphasis on village life, that was a mistake. He said that the future temples of India, one thing he said, that he had this idea, it wasn't his alone, but he was a great proponent of it, and he was in a very powerful position to actualize his ideas. So he had the idea that religion has spoiled India. See, we're way behind the West because of all this otherworldliness. We need to get in tune with the modern world. And he said that the factories and dams will be the temples of the new India. So it was changing, and when I came to India in the 1970s, we used to go for book distribution to industrial towns like Burnpur, Dhanbad, Asansol. Those three towns are there on the border of West Bengal and Jharkhand now. It used to be Bihar. So we saw how people, going on into Bihar, Jamshedpur, Tatanaga, huge industrial town. Another one in that area, Chittaranjan, or so many industrial towns in that area. Where did the workers come from? They're all sons of farmers, or from villages. And it's going on up to the present day with the idea that India needs more development, modern education. The British introduced the idea that our educational system, that's it, that's the best. And Indians have fully taken to it. Even those who subscribe to the idea of promoting Hinduism, quote unquote Hinduism, they really think that the Western way of life, that's real civilization, and that that's better. They're really completely indoctrinated with this, that English language is best, Western-style education is best, forgetting that their own culture is spiritually the most advanced. And after all, spiritual advancement is the real purpose of life. And although you may have material advancement, people are not happy. And I just like the people are pointing out in the West, hey, our society is mad. It's mad. I saw one joke in one devotee made in one of the Srila Prabhupada tributes books. That means Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they offer Vyasa Puja offerings to him. This is a few years ago. And he said that New York City was a good place to start introducing Krishna consciousness because it's like chanting japa. He said already half the population walk around mumbling to themselves. In other words, he was saying half the people in New York City are already crazy. So it was a little like that. But actually, so many social problems in the West. It's a funny thing that the Western media, especially the BBC, is relentlessly portraying India as a country which is socially off in so many ways. But they themselves have so many problems in the Western countries. They're social, at least I can say that living in India, the social problems, the average, anyway, it's a subjective point of view, but let's put it like this. The West is not devoid of social problems. People are not happy. So that's what I'm saying. We have to be able to tell people, come join our farms. We've got a better way of life for you. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted, that we preach in the cities, but we establish farm communities so that people can come and live simply and cooperate peacefully and happily in Krishna consciousness. But here in India and in the West also, they promoted this idea. Well, farming is very backward, sitting behind a computer, rah, 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 data crunching. That's really advanced. Guy, backward, life in the village, it's backward. Growing food, that's for uneducated, stupid people. I'll just give one example of the how India's been affected by this. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports to Chaitanya Charitamrita about how in the villages in India up to the present time, everyone uses a neem stick as a toothbrush. It's free, it's natural. You use once and throw it away and it doesn't pollute. It's good to have a lot of neem trees around, not just for neem toothbrushes. The neem leaf has so many benefits. The air that goes through the neem is also very beneficial for health. And also, if there are many neem trees, then you won't get the locust attacks, because when they eat the neem, then they become unable to procreate. So I was informed via a agricultural expert in Gujarat. So what's happening, we have like getting on for 7.5 billion people all over the world, and the majority of them use a plastic toothbrush, which they replace time to time. How much pollution is that causing to this soil? First of all, disturbing Mother Earth by extracting the oil, and then processing it, and then making it a toothbrush, and then throwing it away. And in the meantime, putting plastic into your mouth, whereas neem is completely natural and antiseptic. And then often people put the neem stick and you chew it a bit. I do it also. After years of using that plastic thing, I'm using the neem datan, it's called. And then you stick it in some ashes, which are easily available because people cook with wood. And then you brush your teeth like that, which people think is very backward. Now, it used to be that when they were introducing toothbrush and toothpaste, these businessmen who were doing it, you don't get any profit from people using neem toothbrushes, which they just pick daily, free. They get a free tooth. But if you want to sell them toothbrush and toothpaste, then you got to what's this? Using it? You should get modern. That's all old-fashioned. And then what is this? Putting ashes in your mouth. And then neem. It's all bitter and horrible. But nowadays they sell neem toothpaste. And then toothpaste with charcoal. And they say, charcoal is very good for your teeth. It's been used for generations. They're advertising before that is backward and stupid, and you have to buy toothpaste. The whole attitude in modern life is that the idea, you have to work, get and money, and then you can live. But in the village life, you don't need money. Maybe in the modern world, to some extent, you do. But traditionally, you don't need money. Everything you need is right there. Srila Prabhupada had the idea, let everyone come and live in the country and chant Hare Krishna and be happy and work. You have to work. You're not saying you don't have to work. But happiness, what is that? Happiness is in our minds, and it is a matter of attitude. It is shaped by externals also. If we're beaten with sticks violently, systematically, every day at a regular time, and then we feel the pain all day, every day, we're not likely to feel very happy. And then there are the sticks of verbal abuse and so on. So feeling happy is a lot to do with how we think. And there was a systematic propaganda to change the way people thought. Before, people were very satisfied to live in the village and chant Hare Krishna or Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, or whatever. But then education through the radio, also the idea was pumped that, you see, you're living on the land, you have to work so hard just to get a little something out of the land, and it's all backwards, and if you come to the village, you can afford to have cigarettes, and you can afford to have alcohol, and go to the movies, and buy Western clothes. Wow! And you want to live in the village like this stupid people who have no education. Oh! So you become discontent. Otherwise, village life naturally makes you content, because if you don't have advertisements bombarding you every second, buy this, buy that, and then advertising with beautiful women, which agitates your mind, then you just, whatever's there, okay. You're content. You don't have so many extraneous desires to frustrate us all. And also, feeling the grace of God, the carrot grew. Miracle! It's all the grace of God. Now we cooked it, offered it to Krishna, we're taking it. It's all His mercy. And also a feeling of security was there, that I saw my grandfather. He died. But he lived like this. My father is living like this. I'm living like this. The children may think, and then it just naturally, in course of time, I'll be married, and I'll continue to live like this, and then my children will, and what's the problem? There's no problem. There's so many artificially created problems in advanced, civilized, sophisticated madness. Actually, it all comes to madness. So many artificial problems created, and people living on the land, and you don't need to send them for education. The children just growing up, they're helping to look after the cows. They just learn it automatically, and they're playing at the same time. They play with a calf, and it's just automatic. What do they need to go to school for if they're going to do that? Now, of course, there should be some people. It's not that every varnashram means that there are different grades of people, so it's not that all the kids don't go to school, but many of them don't have to. If you're going to be looking after cows and sheep all your life, then what are you going to do going to school? Oh, then you have to learn about, you know, veterinary science. You don't have to learn it. Someone may learn about veterinary science, some expert, and become an expert. But most of the time, you don't need that. People at home, if you keep cows, you know how to keep. Or they're in the village. There's the village cow expert. They know how to deliver cows, to deliver calves. They know how to do it. And how does he know? He didn't go to school. He learned it since he was growing up, as did his father and grandfather and so on and so on. So there's a security there. And everything is there in the village. And it's been going on for centuries. And then there's well-established economic and social relations. So servants come, and then in Diwali, you give them some saris and this and that. And then when there's the local farmer who's growing grains, they distribute to everyone free. The barber gets this much, and like that. And then the local carpenter gets this much. And if you need a carpentry job done, you provide the wood, tell him what you need doing. Maybe give him a little something, but it's all interaction. The Vaishya grows food, and the priest chants the prayers, And the carpenter, if you need something, you need a farm appliance to be repaired, or you need some kitchen tool, or you need a chair made, he'll make that for you. If you need a wooden door frame, you can put that in. So it's all established. And then the social, how you relate with everyone, is not, you don't have to go to seminars to work out how to deal with people, the one-minute manager, and you don't have to be in anxiety all the time what people are thinking of you. It's pretty fixed what they think of you, because that's your identity. Your social identity is largely fixed. And you may say, well, that doesn't give you the chance to develop yourself, but it does, because it gives you the chance to spiritually develop yourself, which is the most important thing. And you don't burn up all your mental energy in trying to wonder where you fit in this insane society. It's best not to fit in it at all. That sanity is just to delink yourself from it. So, with the continuing progress of Kali Yuga, I mean, of course, it was never that everyone in the village was absolutely perfect, but it was a more sane system. It's a more sane society when people can walk out of their house and leave the door wide open with no one at home, than when you have to have locks and security systems and guard dogs and guns to protect your home. That's a better civilization, isn't it? But then the more you have in the villages, people have gadgets, and this selfish society is coming in more and more. Then you become more fearful of others, and more. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's property, but everyone is coveting thy neighbor's property. What to speak of his wife? So, everything was there in the village system. Even medicine, for one thing, people didn't get sick in the ways they do nowadays. They so many lifestyle-induced diseases. But people know basic first aid at home. It's one of the things that's passed down generation after generation. People know how to live in a simple way that helps to keep them healthy, and they get a little cold or something, and they tolerate. It's not that they go rushing off to the doctor every time. And then there are doctors, the professional Ayurvedic physicians also, and they treat. Yeah, they just treat. It's not that they demand exorbitant fees, because anyway, if you get lots of money, what are you going to do with it anyway? Yeah, if you get more money, buy some gold or something like that. People once are ambitious, which they say, well, that's not good. You should be ambitious. Why? Ambition just puts you in anxiety. You understand the goal of life is to know God, to know Krishna. So living, how to eat and sleep and all these basic necessities, that shouldn't take up our whole endeavor and consciousness. That should be done as simply as possible, so we can have time and a clear mind to concentrate on God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And say, you know, what about looking after the old? Yeah, there's no problem. They're just there, and they're there at home, and they grow old, and they gradually become infirm, and you don't try to make an 80-year-old body work like a 20-year-old body. You just accept that it's an 80-year-old body, and you don't get all ridiculously sentimental about it. Okay, they're going to die soon. Surprise, surprise. So this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted to set up. It may take some generations to set it up, but it can start right now, and it is starting right now, the non-exploitive mentality in which everyone comes together and works together, knowing that we're all here to serve Krishna together. That's all. Everyone helps everyone else. We're all living here to serve Krishna. It's not such a difficult thing to do, theoretically. Actually, in practice, we find in our experience with having pilot farm communities, not everyone can adjust their mentality to it. Okay, all right, not everyone's ready for that. All right, live in the city, chant Hare Krishna. We don't condemn you. You can make good spiritual advancement in the city if you're serious about Krishna consciousness. It's not that you only go to the village, but overall, it will make an atmosphere that is more conducive for Krishna consciousness, and an atmosphere that is more conducive for your children's advancement in Krishna consciousness, without being distracted by so many materialistic allurements. So that's what we need to do. We really need, as a movement, to not be mesmerized by this idea that modern life is, it's really wonderful and we have to get in sync with. Listen to what Prabhupada said about establishing farm communities and Varnashram Dharma. It's a big challenge. But we should know that we can be happy in the sense of much less anxiety by living a simple life in the village without high expectations of how I shall live, being adjusted to live without so many comforts. Yes, without so many comforts. It's not primitive to live without comforts. It's actually more advanced to voluntarily do so. But to get those comforts, you have to sacrifice so much time and energy to work so hard in the Ugra Karma society. So living simply, you don't need so much furniture and all so many things. And also with the faith that this is the best for myself and my family, and to participate with a give and take spirit in a social economic community where the farming is the core economic activity. And there may be others also, just like there may be weavers villages where the emphasis is on weaving. Or otherwise it can be diversified. In one village there are farmers who go out to their fields, there are weavers, and that will be not just for the local village but for selling outside also, and then basket making. And it can be all also, it's just like there was a common thing that women who would, they'd have, maybe there'd be a farmer's wife or maybe a teacher's wife, but they'd do spinning at home, spinning cotton at home. And Gandhi wanted to introduce it. That's on the flag of India, the Republic of India, that wheel. It's supposed to symbolize the chaka of Mahatma Gandhi, who himself would personally, to set an example, spin cloth every day for khadi cloth. So home industry, economy based on food, which is the growing food, which is the first necessity, first economic necessity. Anad bhavanti bhutani, we all live on food. And an economic system that different people produce different things, and you introduce, some people don't produce anything, they're just like the teacher doesn't produce anything, but he teaches. Or then some of the women, they'll double up as midwives, So, well, you could say they produce babies, but they don't produce in the same sense that a carpenter or a farmer or a blacksmith does. So anyway, different occupations for different people. And then the cooperative rather than competitive attitude. But it's hard to establish because it's, one reason is we're not used to it, and another thing is that mentality was inherited for generations, and now it's largely broken. The mentality that we're all here to be together, and even if there may be quarrels, we all live in the same place and we have to get on with each other, so it can't go too seriously. But nowadays the idea is that, well, the real aim of life is to increase our material standard of life. And we have to enlighten the poor village people. And now we have in the village, I'm talking about the village in India. I've been living in a village for the last, well, first one village and now another for the so many months. And I say, all the village people, even the children now have their smartphones or whatever, the tractors, plowing by bulls. I don't see tractors, earth movers. Kids go to school. For what? They go to school and they come back and they look after the cows. And when they're older, they look after the cows. And what are they going to learn at school? So this is, what I just said now is nothing new. I've said all these things so many times, but we have to say it time to time just to say we didn't give up on it, and we didn't get fed up of it. We really want to push this village life, village culture, with Krishna in the center. Otherwise it's Shrama Ihevehi Kevalam, simply work with no actual result. We want to promote this. It's something which our society, ISKCON, has to take up very seriously. Our movement at the present time seems to be at the higher levels, seem to be consumed by various disputes, which can be seen from different angles. One angle can be seen is that they're like culture wars. And there is an issue, or there are some issues there, because just like this whole thing about female Diksha Gurus, Vaishnavi Diksha Gurus, there is somewhat of a dilemma there, because for preaching in the West and increasingly throughout the world, we have to come to terms with the successful feminist revolution, which changed the roles of women and, along with that, unavoidably the roles of men. It's still not clear exactly what the women should be and what the men should be, except that whatever it is, the women are not going to be dominated by the men. So that is very deeply ingrained in the Western psyche at the present time, which does go to show how the whole psyche can be changed. Why don't we do it? Changing the psyche to Krishna consciousness. If we make a campaign, we sit down and work out how to do it, we should be able to do it by the grace of Krishna. Okay, but anyway, I'm just trying to make the point here that we have to consider how to preach the message of Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And following Srila Prabhupada's example, we may continue to engage spirit souls in female bodies in preaching roles. So that's a valid consideration. I don't think any follower of Srila Prabhupada can out and out deny that. But on the other hand, we have to establish Varnashram, which is a very different kind of society with a very different kind of outlook, in which the role of women is, to put it in a general way, quite subdued. Not that they'll be going out aggressively and preaching. So we need to do both things, and they seem to be in opposition with each other. So it should be the kind of thing that's discussed. Then how do we face both these challenges? On the one hand, we want to preach in the world in which we have to not exactly adjust to it, but we have to be aware of it and learn how to preach in that situation. So that's one consideration, which comes into a clash with the idea of highly structured, hierarchical society. So that's another point which is tangential to, but extremely important, tangential to the whole endeavor of establishing agrarian Varnashram communities. It's a culture war. We have to think, well, why do we come to war? And that's another whole discussion. Anyway, let's just keep it in mind and keep on working on it. We have to make these farms give shelter to people who want to come to Krishna consciousness, who want to escape the hellish city life. We want to live on our own terms as far as possible. There are governmental laws, but as far as possible, we want to live on our own terms with our own aims. It's also a kind of preaching. People can come and see how happy we are, and be amazed. It happens all the time. So there are some thoughts. Happiness in village life with Krishna in the center. But even among Buddhists who are not God conscious, quite stringently not God conscious, I've seen in spending some time in Thailand, a staunchly Buddhist country, that although the Thais are known as the smiling Thais, but definitely people in the village, even though in some parts of the country when I was there was quite a lot of what they called poverty, not that anyone was starving, but you know, they didn't have so many mod cons. But people live, you know, they're more happy, less anxiety. You can practically put this, less anxiety means more happiness in the village. So in and of itself, it produces a kind of happiness which is conducive to a moralistic, religious kind of life. And then put that together with Krishna consciousness, great. That was Prabhupada's idea. It's Krishna's idea. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada, you are the farm acharya. This is in Vrindavan at Srila Prabhupada's. Krishna Balaram Tamal said, no, I'm not. Krishna and Balaram, they're the farm acharyas. Krishna has his flute for calling the cows. Balaram has his plow for plowing the land. It's Krishna's idea. Let's do what Krishna wants. Not that living in the city and chanting Hare Krishna is not what Krishna wants, but that is not the ideal that Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us to establish something great. What is great? Living on the land and growing plants. Yes, great. Do it for Krishna. Anad bhavanti bhutani. We all live on food grains. Grow them. Let's do it. Let's do it for Krishna and Prabhupada and for the world and for the future generations of Vaishnavas. So we don't think we have to send them off to some slaughterhouse education, which is mitigated a bit by chanting Hare Krishna in the morning while you train how to become, get in the mainstream of the rat race, where basically your ideals, your goal of life is basically materialistic, but yeah, you chant Hare Krishna also and take prasad. We can do better. We can do better. Let's do what Prabhupada wanted. All success comes by doing what Srila Prabhupada wanted. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to all the devotees everywhere who have dedicated their lives in His glorious service. And especially, I can dedicate this little talk to those devotees who have taken the decision and actually gone and lived on the land in Krishna conscious communities. We really need to develop this more and more. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarupyas charkripa sindhubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chunakang padaya nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta daham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Gauranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tatava nanu mukaro navayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.